This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show for the first day of deer season, November 26th, and this show is pre-recorded. So, first hour, we'll take your calls for the muzzleloader contest, which we'll give away next week. That's a great CVA muzzleloader, and check out CVA.com for all the details. And we'll take your calls, your phone number. You don't have to call in. Of course, we're not here. That's a good thing. The other thing is you can always email. That's ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. Name and phone number, muzzleloader contest in the subject line, and we'll make sure you get in the contest, and we'll pull that great muzzleloader from the folks at CVA next week. So, mentioned we are pre-recorded, but we do have a couple of guests here today. We welcome Phil Norman from Howard County Recreation and Parks Deer Program, and we welcome Brian Eiler from Maryland Department of Natural Resources. He is the Deer Project Leader or the Mammal Project Leader.
Deer Project Leader guy.
Okay, and he's been here before, as you know. This is the first day of deer season. First thing we want to do is wish all the hunters good luck out there. But we're going to start it off, as we always do, with Phil Norman. Phil's a pastor, and Phil is going to ask the blessing for safety and protection and on the deer hunters this morning. So let's pause for a moment, and Mr. Phil.
Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity we have in this country and in this great state to pursue these deer, to feed our families, to feed our community, and to enjoy the great outdoors that you have created for us. We simply ask this morning that you would bless and protect and provide success for each of us as we go forth climbing trees, handling firearms. There's some danger involved, but you can cover and protect us, and we ask for that. We ask for food for our families and our community. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Even our producer said amen.
Amen.
Amen. John Denson. Doing a par excellent job again, as always, pre-recording this show. Brian Eiler. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about the 20,000 deer harvested during the early season. That number down about 14%.
Yeah.
As always, you guys blamed a number of factors.
Which is correct. Yeah, we were down about 14%. So, you know, there's fewer deer on the landscape.
We know that.
Yeah, we're not shy about that. I don't think the number accurately reflects what's out there necessarily. You know, the either sex muzzleloader season with lousy weather.
Right. Yeah, there's no question. So I didn't see a deer.
That was a big
chunk. I didn't see a deer on two efforts at Phil's program either this year.
Yeah, that was that was a big chunk of it.
We got to blame everybody, buddy.
Phil. Yeah.
Blame the weather.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
DNR does.
So it's big enough to take it.
It's a combination of factors. But there's definitely fewer deer on the landscape. I mean, we've been going hard after deer for, 10 years.
At least.
We may be seeing the fruits of our labor.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of things that play into deer numbers when you're out there. And you can't ignore the effects of weather.
If you're hunting a farm where the corn crop hasn't been cut, you're not going to see as many deer.
Right.
If you're hunting a farm and you're working the field edges and the deer are on the oak flats, you're not going to see as many deer.
Right. And it is a pretty good acorn year. The whites aren't producing much, but the reds and blacks are definitely putting down some acorns.
No question. Of course, whites are preferred, right?
Whites are the preferred, yeah.
Then red, then black.
Yeah, that's typically the way it goes.
But, sure.
And if you're sitting on a bait pile and there's an oak tree 100 yards away.
Guess what?
You're sitting
in the wrong spot.
You're in the wrong spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Phil's shaking his head there.
Get off the bait.
We can't see that on the radio. You can always say, I agree or I concur.
I agree and concur.
Both. Wonderful.
Yeah,
glad to hear that.
But we're watching it close.
Sure. Thanks for that nice blessing, by the way, Bill. Very nice. Always.
We do regularly. You know, we set regulations every 2 years. So we're watching it close. And if we need to dial back in some areas, we'll definitely
dial back in some areas.
Yeah.
I got it. You haven't yet. It's been full bore.
Yeah, it's
for the last 10-12 years.
You know, we've had too many deer in the state for a long time, and we've been trying to. We haven't been shy about our goals to want to reduce the population.
Right.
So.
Right. And every time you say the deer population's down by a third over the last decade, people go, "Well, I saw 40 in my field."
Just depends on where you are.
Where you are.
Yeah,
and,
do
they allow hunting on that property?
Right.
Does the farmer have a management permit?
Right.
You know, that type of thing. So,
right.
It's all interesting stuff out there. And, we publish the Maryland Hunting Coalition. We try to stay up on that. Of course, sometimes we, celebrate, big deer and that type of thing. We don't really talk that much about, we don't put a lot of doe pictures in there unless it's some lady or kid's first deer, but. I mean, there's the doe harvest a decade ago flipped over as far as number of does
were
taking.
Right. There were, at the peak, we were taking about two-thirds antlerless to a third antlered. And,
right.
And it's still about real close
about
to that.
About that.
Yeah.
Of course, Phil, your program in Howard County, that's the focus, is the antlerless deer.
Yeah, with the local, primarily suburban county that we are, our whole reason for having the program is to manage the deer herd and bring it back into some sort of balance with the habitat available.
I've been there, 17 years? Something
I think
like
17
that.
Years, yeah. This is, we're in our 19th year now of
I didn't start at the beginning,
program.
But
you came in after 1 or 2 years.
Like 2000 or something like that.
Yeah,
I commented to you the other day. I said, that your management program seems to be working a lot in the county parks, because you can see where the browse line was, as high as the deer could reach early on, and now you've got some underbrush and you've got some quite a bit of understory there growing up, and the birds are coming back, the little critters are, squirrels are. When are you going to have a squirrel management program?
Once the squirrels become as serious an ecological and social threat as the deer had become.
Yeah, hit one
15,
with a, hit one with a
ago,
car, it really, it, you know, the insurance it, companies don't even get the phone call.
No.
Not quite the same effect.
No, not the same effect.
Yeah.
So, but you've gone from some of the parks from like 80 deer a square mile to any ideas where we are now?
Well, overall, countywide, where we survey, which is mostly our parkland, this past winter we had a survey average of 61 deer per square mile, which is about four times what we are looking for.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, we've had...
Were any of those square miles within the areas that I hunt?
As I said, they're mostly in the parks where we are managing. So, yes, they are the square miles that you hunt. May not have been the 100-yard radius around the tree stand.
No, they weren't. We hope to change that soon.
You weren't, sitting up there playing with your phone or something? Maybe.
No, I've never texted anybody other than Phil.
He's always very alert when he's texting.
For the most part,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the free
cell. It's funny, but you do have to wonder with, how do smartphones play into the annual
There's
deer
no
harvest?
Doubt. There's no doubt.
How many times have you caught yourself sitting in a tree stand?
I had a guy.
Fiddling with your phone.
I had a buddy.
So?
Text me. He's bow hunting. And he's texting me. And he's taking pictures of the deer with his phone.
Yeah.
And he said, this one just showed up. This one's here now. I'm like, aren't you hunting deer?
Yeah.
aren't you looking for a doe to fill your freezer? What's wrong with the one that you're taking a picture of?
Yeah.
The other side of it, though, that texting has provided a silent means of communication that I think really has been a benefit.
Oh, absolutely.
To hunters.
Almost an illegal benefit, really. I mean, not in Maryland, but in some states it is. It actually is illegal,
Illegal what?
To be communicating between hunters.
Can't use them in the car when you're driving.
While you're
deer,
hunting. If you look at some states, like with handheld radios and that kind of stuff, they actually prevent, you know, that's illegal in a lot of states.
So, not in Maryland.
No, but it's automatic. It's almost an unfair advantage. You know, and then now you have all these trail cameras that'll
send you your pictures
right away.
Yeah.
Hey, this deer's here, you know, and stuff like
that. That's true. So, I mean,
this technology is something else.
The other side of technology, but,
it's something else.
Yeah, last season it was 11 o'clock in the morning and there was nothing going on. And here, all of a sudden, 11 deer showed up, $3 in the bunch.
And, I thought you said there weren't any deer out there.
That wasn't at Phil's program. There aren't any deer in Howard County.
That was my program.
Oh, he's going to defend that now.
Beg to differ. I said this before we started recording, but we just yesterday morning just took our 100th deer of the season for this year's managed hunts.
That's pretty good. So, you've only been hunting a month, basically.
Started very end of September, so month and a half.
Month and a half. That's a good number, though.
Yeah.
That's a good number.
So anyways, not to interrupt you.
No, that's okay. But here, you know, the deer are coming. So I'm not texting at this point. I'm trying to figure out where these deer are going to go, and I'm looking, you know, binoculars in the distance, and then as they get closer, I'm picking the one I want to shoot, which happened to be, I'm not bragging, it just happened to be in the herd. It was a nice 10-point. So, you know, I had the 30-30 in the corner of the stand that is as old as I am, and that's the gun I wanted to shoot the deer with. But where the deer showed up 150 yards away, I grabbed the 270 with the scope, and, of course, the deer stopped 25 yards broadside. I did not switch firearms at that point because this all happened within seconds. So I took the 10-point. Immediately, once I saw the deer drop, I'm texting the guy in the next tree stand, you know, because now three more deer came out from under the stand, so there's 11 and 3 was 14, there's 13, so I texted him, I said, couple bucks in the bunch, you know, watch. And, of course, he heard me shoot, which was the immediate means of communication, but headed his way. So, a few seconds later, bang, I heard gunshot. So, who shot? He said, my son shot once, first deer. I said, great, what'd he get? Now there's a 6-point, 4-point, and a bunch of does and all this stuff in this bunch. He goes, we'll kill the spike. I'm like, I didn't even see the spike. Where was that? You know, so, but I mean, instant communication was great. And then here comes a picture of Will with his deer. So, I mean, it's great, you know.
So
we're talking about that. Well, so much for cell phones. Let me talk a little bit about our friends at Clyde Sports Shop. Folks, if you're rifle hunting, and let's say your rifle has not been helping you this season, I'd like to recommend a couple from Clyde Sports Shop, your full-line Browning dealer. The outstanding value package is the AB3 Hunter, the A-Bolt 3 Hunter. It's a walnut stock, blued barrel, blued accessories and things like that. And it comes factory installed with a Nikon Buckmaster 4-12x40 BDC rifle scope. The value on this firearm is spectacular. You can't get a combination like this of this quality for this price. 243, 7mm 08, 308, 270, 30-06, 7mm Remington Mag, 300 Win Mag. There's one for everybody, and it's a great value. Then there's the X-Bolt. That's the step up. You got to put your own scope on that, put a good quality optics on the X-Bolt. This is a beautiful firearm, all standard Magnum and short Magnum calibers, adjustable feather trigger. You got it right there. And then the one I like is the Hell's Canyon Speed. It's a very, very light rifle. It's got the arid urban camo. It comes with a Cerakote bronze-looking barrel, ported barrel. It's beautiful. Comes in a lot of different calibers. You want to check that one out. All at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9. They're open 7 days a week. Take all major credit cards. That phone number for Clyde's is 242-6108. That's 410-242-6108.
Alan Ellis here for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie spray-on bedliners. You know, Linex spray-on bedliners are rated number one and carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools and your tackle, crabbing, and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex premium bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and paint match. And Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your trucks. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex bedliner and truck gear accessories. Catonsville Linex, located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire.
Attention gun owners, hunters, and shooters. Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom. Easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing. 240-347-4906. Above precision, beyond accurate. And while you're at Hafer's Gunsmithing, see a redneck blind on display. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose redneck blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blinds, and hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland redneck blinds dealer. Check the redneck blinds website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500.
Put me on a mountain way back in the backwoods. Put me on a lake with a big one on the line. Put me around a campfire.
Hey, we're back with Phil Norman from Howard County Deer Management Program and Brian Eiler, the Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife, and Heritage Service Deer Program Manager. We're talking off the air during the break a little bit about some of the deer numbers and some things that are going on in the deer world, and we'll talk a little bit about that. We just came through, Brian, the youth season.
Yep.
Earlier, and we talked about the, you know, the early harvest, the early muzzleloader, and the early bow season. Down 14%, primarily because of weather and alternative food sources. Yeah. Other than your corn pile.
And fewer deer.
On your landscape. Yeah. But how'd the youngsters do?
They did well. I don't have the final numbers,
sure.
But it's around 2,500, which is about what it was last year. So
really?
They had a good 2 days. You know, they can hunt on Sundays now in,
yeah.
in the 21 count or 20 counties. And,
yeah.
It was good weather, and they, you know, we were talking earlier, most of the seasons we take about 2/3 antlerless and 1/3 antlered, and when they created this youth season, they purposely put it in the middle of the rut.
Sure.
For the kids.
Yeah.
And, which was a good thing. And this is the one season where that rule goes out the window, and they,
yeah.
actually, the kids actually, they take about 2/3 but antlered or bucks and about 1/3 antlered.
Really? So, yeah. Is that right?
Yeah. So it worked.
Well, you know what?
It worked.
I mean, it was the rut was hitting on all cylinders on
yep.
Saturday and
yep.
Sunday. I mean, we had on Youth Saturday, we called out to Montgomery County. There was a group of 17 kids there, and adults with each one of them. And, you know, there were standers and drivers and watchers and people with radios communicating back and forth with each other. And their goal was to get each kid a buck.
Yeah.
I don't know if they accomplished that goal.
That's a lofty goal.
It was, and they've done it a few times, you
yeah.
know. But we talked to four or five of the kids, you know, on the air, and we know that the two of the girls that were in the program both took nice bucks.
Good.
And a number of the kids did. We started getting pictures, you know, early on, and I texted that right after the show. Anybody do any good? And we got one buck picture, and the fellow that I talked to on the show said a lot of bucks moving. I even saw a buck breeding a doe this
really?
Morning.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's
that's good.
Pretty interesting to.
Yeah.
Sit in the stand and watch that going on.
Yeah, so they had a good 2 days. I tell you, the last couple of years, one or two of those years were pretty pretty miserable. Berlin, yeah. So it was good that good weather for this one. But
exactly.
Just seems to be staying warmer a lot longer, you know.
For some reason.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. But yeah, it was good this year. So
I got it.
For sure.
Well, maybe with the change in Washington, we won't have as much climate change.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't
know.
We'll see.
Does that matter?
We'll still go deer hunting.
We're still going deer hunting.
Yeah, we'll deer hunt regardless.
Exactly.
We'll still complain about DNR.
Of course.
Blame it on the weather.
Yeah.
And blame it on the weather and too many acorns and not enough deer. So.
But hopefully this 2 weeks, you know, we're starting a 2 week firearm season. And
well, the first day here we are today. You know, I mean, I'm out there. I'm guessing you're doing something. You're probably out there in a tree stand field somewhere. You know, we're all out deer hunting. We're pre-recording the show, and you know, I'm with Jacob, my grandson, up in Cecil County, and you know, who knows what's going on here in the next few hours.
Yeah.
We've always been very blessed up there.
Today's still the big day.
The big day.
You know, I mean, we take more deer today than any other day, you know, during the season. So it's tailed off a little bit. It's interesting. Archery season is taking a bigger chunk of our total harvest every year just because of the amount of opportunity. But
yeah,
the opening day of firearm season and then the 2 week season, that's still our Super Bowl of deer hunting.
Yeah, we've got a lot of nice deer in the in the hunting quarterly that came out 1st of November. I mean, they've taken some giant bucks in Maryland so far, a couple in the 200-inch class, and most of them were legal.
For many, many years, up until several years ago, you know, firearms were our number one weapon for deer hunting, and actually starting a couple years ago, archery equipment has overtaken firearms. We kill more deer now and with archery equipment than we do with firearms.
Really?
Yeah.
Over the course of the year.
Yeah. So, I should say.
You mean in the early part of the
season? Yeah.
Up until the.
Yeah,
I get
so,
it.
Yeah.
Sure.
So.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. Well, you know, the more opportunities. It's a long season. You know, you go through the six stages of bow hunting, you know, when they change from their summer patterns, you know, in the bachelor buck groups. You still have a little of that when the season opens, you know, the velvet, you know, the velvet rubs off and the. They get prepared for breeding, and then they get changed. The acorns start to fall. The agriculture crops change. I mean, you got all kinds of different changing dynamics out there in the deer woods, and then they get to this point.
Yeah.
So, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Typical peak of the rut or heavy duty rut is still second week of November, Maryland. What are you seeing? You're out there every day with the deer. What do you see?
My general advice, if you want to hunt the rut, is to make sure you've got time available somewhere in the first half of November.
Got it.
They're starting to warm up in October, and sometimes you'll get the opportunity to take advantage of that.
Yeah. I mean, I know they've done a lot of fetus studies in the late management programs where they're aging the fetuses of the deer that are taken in the management programs, and
they're tracking it
back to the 7th to the 15th or whatever of November.
Yeah. You know, so. We have the way we run our managed hunt program in our parks, because of the guidelines that were set, policies were set on the program, we always hunt on weekdays when school is in session, so there's minimal opportunity or minimal likelihood that kids would be in the parks or want to go to the parks. And I found early on that Veterans Day, November 11th, is a national holiday, so a lot of hunters have the day off from work. They won't have to take vacation time to hunt a weekday.
Right.
But it's not a school holiday in Howard County, so schools are in session, and we have the opportunity to put a managed hunt in.
Right.
We always hunt the Middle Patuxent Environmental Area that day because it's our largest park. We can get the most hunters in on a day. And I'll tell you, sometimes that November 11th is a charm.
Yeah.
Biggest single-day harvest we ever had in the managed hunt program was a Veterans Day. This past Veterans Day, we took 19 deer.
That's a pretty good day.
Yeah. Including one really nice 5.5-year-old 9-pointer.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I've hunted that program, and, you know, if you're not buck qualified, you sit there and watch them walk by. see deer. You know, you see several bucks during the day. You know, they're cruising or doing whatever that you're not going to take and, you know, or just don't meet the criteria, that type of thing. And, you know, you're absolutely right. But that doesn't mean that on the first day of deer season, you shouldn't be planning your hunt like it's not the rut. I mean, you know, it's there. It's still there.
Yeah, and in these densely populated areas, dense deer populations, we do have a number of does that don't get bred during the peak of the rut in early November.
That's
and
right.
And they're a mammal about the size of human beings. The does tend to go through their estrus cycle on about a monthly basis.
Right.
Also, and so I've always found that second cycle, which coincides with firearm season,
yes, exactly,
can be a mini rut, if you will.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, we've taken several deer, you know, where we hunt. One of the second, third year I hunted there, mm-hmm. I shot a nice 8-point just pushing a doe, and she was, you know, she was in mm-hmm. estrus. She was ready to breed, and so was she. You know, my grandson's taken a couple bucks chasing does the last few years, you know, so... It's, you know, you're right. It can be. But mm-hmm. then there's that down cycle, too, immediately after the peak of the rut where they're breeding, they disappear from the landscape, you know, for a couple of days, that shutdown period or whatever you want to call that. I hope we're through that by the time firearm season comes out. You know,
so. Yeah. Yeah. Typically we are.
Yeah.
I find.
Yep. Exactly.
And then we'll also have, you know, if we have fawns that are born early enough in the year, some of them will actually breed the first year. So you'll actually see, you know, you can see chasing through the end of January.
That's
even
true.
If some of these late-born fawns come to estrus. So it's kind of interesting as well.
Well, I mean,
it's
even
a small percentage.
But, yeah. But I mean, then you got what some people call the third rut, is when those young does, those mm-hmm. fawns of the year that are 6 months old, are capable of breeding, and they go into their first estrus cycle, like you said, in January. So sometimes that late firearm season or even late bow season can be pretty productive for bucks. And you just basically, when it gets to the 1st of November, I'm playing rut hunting all the way through.
Yeah.
You know, the doe scent, the estrus scent, and that type of thing, and, you know, putting the scent stuff out there. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
So... Let's talk a little bit about safety, Phil. Ever since I've been in the program, you've always required somebody to have a safety strap, and that used to be anything from the old waist strap, you know, tied around the tree. Now we have the advent of, over the years, of the safety harnesses and so forth. And then you've also required what they call haul rope to bring your gear up the tree.
Yeah, those two pieces of equipment are vitally important. I've heard it said, I like this because it gets you thinking, falling out of a tree is not a problem at all. There's no safety risk in falling out of a tree.
That's true.
It's landing that causes the problem.
Land on your feet, land on your back, land on your head. Yeah.
Landing on a stub that's sticking up because you were clearing yourself a shooting lane,
mm-hmm.
any of those sorts
that's
of things.
That's happened a lot.
Yeah. So if you fall out of a tree but you never land, you're going to be fine. And that's what the safety harness does.
That's correct.
Yeah, if you... Yeah.
It's not the fall. Yeah. It's that sudden quick stop there at the end. Yeah. Abrupt.
Yeah. It's like flying an airplane. Most of the time, takeoff and landing are where your highest risk is.
Of course.
Once you're in the air, everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've also found in terms of tree stand accidents, most of the accidents come when you're climbing up or getting down out of the stand.
That's true.
The time you spend up there, unless you happen to fall asleep and tilt off your seat, you're going to be fine up there.
It's always better to fall asleep and tilt when you're strapped in with a safety harness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
not that I would know anything about that. But
there are stories that circulate even to this day, but maybe we should just proceed. Or do you want to hear that one, Brian?
That would have been my first year in the program where they had to come find me at noon when I wasn't out of the woods.
Yeah, every day at the end of the morning, we always go through the whole roster of hunters that we're in, make sure everybody's accounted for, mm-hmm. and nobody's seen Alan Ellis.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
snoring led right to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, another hunter in the program named Gig was, he said, well, I walked past him. He was in his tree stand still when I was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So we went up there, and sure enough, we had to actually kick the base of the tree to get shaken a little bit.
I thought you threw a stick at me.
Yeah.
But that's a story for another day, and now we're going to take a break.
Taking a little nap, Wuthy.
The 2017 Great American Outdoor Show. is February 4th through the 12th in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. It's the world's largest consumer outdoor show. It's a nine-day event celebrating hunting, fishing, and the outdoor traditions. Exhibitors and events span 650,000 square feet of exhibit space. With 1,100 exhibitors, you'll find everything you need to enjoy the outdoors. The Great American Outdoor Show is February 4th through the 12th in Harrisburg. For more details on the world's largest outdoor show, be sure to visit greatamericanoutdoorshow.org. That's greatamericanoutdoorshow.org. Let me tell you about JB Farms, Carroll County's newest deer processor located in Tawnytown. JB Farms will skin and custom cut, wrap, and freeze your deer. They can make your venison into tasty bologna, sausage, or hot dogs, and JB Farms is an FHFH participating donation processor. JB Farms can handle all wild game from game birds to exotics to big game, and JB Farms can supply you with all natural, grass-fed beef, lambs, goats, chickens, rabbits, and ducks, even free-range chicken eggs. I don't know how they do that, but that's what they say. Call JB Farms to have your deer processed. That number is 410-756-5656. JB Farms, located at 3523 Harney Road, just outside Tawnytown, Maryland. Call Joe, 410-756-5656. We'll be right back after these messages.
After a dry weekend, some rain should develop late on Monday and stick around into Tuesday and Wednesday. In the meantime, could be out on this Saturday, partly to mostly cloudy from this morning into the afternoon. Winds will continue out of the northwest with a few of the gusts near 15 to 20 miles per hour. The high should reach 53. Overnight clear, the low dipping to 33. Will be a sunny into the weekend tomorrow, the high reaching 54. And the clouds will start to increase on Monday with a high temperature climbing into the mid-50s. Rain should arrive on Monday night. I'm Jeff Maher from the Weather Channel. For Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg is taking care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8255. 8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
Hey, Alan Ellis here for Bay Linex at Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. You know, Linex Spray-On Bedliners are rated number one, and they carry a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. Your tools, your tackle, your crabbing and hunting gear can't hurt your truck bed. Choose the Linex Premium Bedliner that looks great and offers UV protection, or the Linex Extra with Kevlar and Paint Match. You know what? Bay Linex and Catonsville Linex now offer truck gear, the toughest accessories for your truck. Step bars, tonneau covers, floor liners, grill guards, fender flares, and much more. These guys provide the best protection for your truck. Protect your investment, your pickup truck like I did, the Linex Bedliner, and truck gear accessories. Bay Linex at Glen Burnie is located at 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. Of course, call 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. Catonsville Linex, located 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. 410-455-0800. Redneck blinds are the best deer blinds on the planet. Do you need a blind for the field edge, deep in the woods, or on the marsh? Choose Redneck blinds. They're built to last. Redneck's fiberglass hunting blinds, new soft side hunting blind, and the hay bale blinds provide great visibility and shot angles for your bow, gun, and crossbow hunting. Stephen House is your Maryland Redneck blinds dealer. Check the Redneck Blind website, then call Stephen at 301-331-2500. Gun owners, hunters, and shooters, Hafer's Gunsmithing in Hagerstown, Maryland is your one-stop gun shop for sales, service, and training. Large selection of new and used guns, hafersguns.com. Large selection of ammo and reloading, hafersguns.com. Repairs, parts, or custom gunsmithing, hafersguns.com. Class 3 firearms, hafersguns.com. Check out their extensive 1,600-square-foot showroom, easy access from Interstates 81 and 70. Hafer's Gunsmithing, on the web at hafersguns.com or on Facebook at Hafer's Gunsmithing, 240-347-4906, above precision, beyond accurate. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop, W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W. Tire and Auto.
Hi, I'm Viola Davis. Did you know that one in five kids in America struggle with hunger? Growing up, I was one of those kids. But we can solve this. When we make breakfast happen for kids in our neighborhood, we have the power to end childhood hunger, create bigger, brighter school days, and healthier minds and bodies. Go to hungeris.org and lend your time or your voice.
We're hungry for more.
A message from the Albertsons Companies Foundation and the Entertainment Industry Foundation.
I just ran into a statistic.
Rush.
80% of seniors at 55 of the best colleges and universities earned a D or an F on a high school level American history test. That is something that is not taught. American history has been bastardized. It has been politicized. It has been corrupted. It's a shame what has happened to the teaching of American history.
Rush Limbaugh, weekdays noon to 3.
Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
The following has been pre-recorded for broadcast at this time.
I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Okay, we're back with Brian Eiler, DNR Deer Project Leader, Phil Norman from Howard County Recreation and Parks Deer Program, very successful program for managing deer in Howard County. And we left a little bit about talking about safety, but there's another type of safety, too, and that's firearm safety there, Brian.
Yeah, exactly. So, just to wrap up with tree stands, falls from tree stands is the number one injury by far.
Yeah.
If you look at the stats. So
Have we had any this year that we know of? I don't recall.
I don't recall any offhand. I'm sure there's been several that haven't made the news. But I can't recall any. But yeah, but by and far, I mean it's our number one injury. So wear your harnesses. You can't stress that enough. But yeah, on the firearm safety thing, the golden rule is treat every gun like it's loaded. Don't aim it where you're not intending to shoot, and keep your finger off the trigger until you're ready to shoot.
Beware your background, beware your foreground.
Make sure what your target is. There's no deer worth an accident.
You're right.
Having
had a deer shot in front of me, knowing full well that when the hunter pulled the gun up on the deer, that I was in the scope, I had to be. There was no reason that I wasn't in the scope, and having that deer shot and that gunshot go off right behind me.
Scary feeling.
It's very, very scary.
Yeah.
Deer came across, guy in a tree stand. I just left him. He was a friend of my dad's. I just left the guy. And I was walking. I was maybe 30 yards from the tree. And a deer came across the field. And he shot the deer, and the deer dropped about 5 yards from him.
Wow. Yeah.
sobering, I imagine.
Yeah.
I reacted in an unpleasant manner.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. I think it's wise in those situations to let your displeasure be known.
I was righteously indignant.
Yes.
You know, I couldn't believe it. I mean, I really could not believe that he shot that deer as close as it was to me.
Yeah.
You know, as I'm walking away from him, the deer came from my left and died 5 yards in front of me. So where was I in that sight picture?
Yeah, he probably never saw you, though. You know, adrenaline.
Oh, I know, but I mean, I just spoke to the guy.
I mean,
and I'm wearing.
I mean, just mentally, he probably never.
Probably not.
Never even
probably
saw
not.
You. You know,
right.
I mean, that and adrenaline kicked in. But yeah.
That's exactly the problem. Is that we get so
focused
in and caught up.
Yeah.
And as Brian said, you know, any of us could probably recite the basic safety laws of firearms.
Exactly.
When we're sitting in the comfort of a recording studio or a living room or whatever. But, when you get out there and there's a deer in front of you, that's the time when you have to basically constrain yourself and
be very,
very, very
aware.
Thoughtful. Yeah.
Yeah. And what's the often repeated rule about a safety on your firearm?
It is a mechanical device which is prone to failure.
Right. Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
I talked to a gentleman yesterday. He was loading a 308 in his garage last deer season, first day. 308. That's a pretty powerful firearm. Put his four shells in his magazine. Put his fifth shell in the... Get to go in the chamber. Started to close the bolt. The shell jacked sideways. The corner of the boat caught the primer. I guess he pretty vigorously shot it. 308 went off in his garage.
Hmm. In an insecure chamber yet. That must have been
exactly.
Out of the battery.
Chamber. Yeah, it was a nasty, could have been a very, very nasty accident.
Yeah.
But it was very sobering. So, I mean, you can imagine. So we've had them go off in the deer woods. With just closing a bolt.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen often. I mean, the good news is with, you know, the Hunter Safety Program and all, I mean, that is really stressed. I'll be teaching one tomorrow, a class tomorrow. But, yeah, it's, treat every firearm like it's loaded.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, you can't show them enough respect for sure. So, but Hunter Safety really, is an important
program.
It
is very important. And it's cut down on firearms-related accidents.
Right.
Yeah. Exponentially.
Yeah. I always tell our students in our Hunter Safety classes that we have how many? About 100,000 licensed hunters in Maryland?
Ballpark
around 100,000.
70,000 deer hunters, but total licensed hunters, 100,000 or so. Yeah.
And then I ask them, how many hunting-related accidents do you think we have in the state of Maryland every season?
Mm-hmm.
And I get a range of guesses from 2 up to, several thousand from the different students. And most people really, usually the people who say 2 are just popping a number off
guess,
and not really
sure.
thinking about it all. But most people are surprised to find out that typically in the state we have only 30, 35, sometimes 20 some odd hunting-related accidents. That's not all firearms accidents.
Right.
That's, the tree stand falls, like Brian said before, typically about half of the total.
Yeah.
And so that's testimony to how great the Hunter Safety Program is.
Exactly. And, the Hunter Safety Program is one thing, but you've got to have a mentor. You've got to have somebody in the field with those youngsters that knows what they're doing and gives them the safety message before. Like I mentioned, that group of 17 kids, they're all wearing orange. They're all with an adult. They all get the lecture before they go out.
Yeah.
The firearms are checked in the field. The firearms are loaded, after they're in the stand. Mm-hmm. They're unloaded before they get down. And, it's quite a program. And, that's a wonderful mentorship program that I'm familiar with, because I'm always wondering whether or not they've killed the 10-point on the lease that I bought on youth day. Did they kill the 10-point? I didn't see it. Okay, good. At least I got something to go back to.
Yeah.
But, which is typical of the hunting world, we don't want anybody else to take our deer. But as you well know, Phil, and you know, Brian, you know, you take one buck out of the equation and the does are still in estrus, so nature always fills a void.
Yeah. Equal, there are better opportunity for the other bucks that remain. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Sure, sure. And people say, what do you mean by that? And I always say, look, if you're fishing and there's a particular trout behind a particular rock, that's where that trout has laid and fed forever, and you catch it and take it out of there, it's not going to be long till another trout finds that spot, that's a good spot to catch food.
Right.
You know? So,
yeah.
It won't be the same day, but...
Won't be the same trout, maybe smaller,
won't be the same trout, but nature always fills a void, and especially in the deer woods. So, I don't worry about that. I'm not nearly as worried about it as some of the other folks on the lease. So. But it's interesting to know. 10 points done, and that was the big guy.
Yeah. Yeah. The other side of it, though, is there's a reason those 10-pointers get to the point where they're the ones that everybody wants.
That's true.
Yeah, they can't necessarily say that there's smarter deer and dumber deer, but probably true.
More they got it figured out, yeah.
More conditions. Yeah. More condition. Oh, yeah. More encounters with humans that it doesn't like.
Yeah.
Heard more gunshots over the years. Yeah. Has become consequently more nocturnal, and I think that's more by nature than by training. You know, that a bigger animal tends to be more nocturnal, you know.
Like you said, they didn't get big from not having it figured out.
Yeah.
You know,
we had a 6-point stag hitting one particular bait site at the farm down in Dorchester County this year, and a guy that was in there Thursday muzzleloader season didn't see it, but when he pulled his cards, it was there 10 minutes after he left the stand, and it was there from about 7:10 till about 3 o'clock in the morning continuously. Jacob heard it the next morning, bugle, didn't see it. The next evening, when Jacob was in the stand, we heard it bugling a couple places, and Jacob shot a doe, and dragging the doe out back to the camp, he encountered the 6-point 10 minutes after dark on the road that he was walking out on. So, you know, that's just how it goes. They're just tend to learn to be more nocturnal and avoid. Yeah. And I think, as you probably know, Phil, the stands in the parks are all basically in the same spot. And I know the smaller parks, those deer know where those stands are. They know when their hunters are there, and they tend to skirt them. I mean, as much success as the program's had, you see them moving around those, you know, in the safety zones and everything else. I think the deer that are there year to year to year become conditioned to the hunters. You know?
They do. I've also gotten plenty of reports and seen myself especially older does that are walking through the woods, and every once in a while they just take a look up in the trees. Now, before tree stands, there was not much reason for does to look up in trees.
Not really.
No.
not many mountain lions and bobcats here in Maryland.
So I would have to say that those does have learned
conditioned behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. And the more we think we know about them, the less we actually know about them. Brian, you've been a deer biologist for a long time. Any surprises these days?
No, the biggest lesson is just how resilient they are. When you look how aggressive you've been in Howard County, Phil, and how aggressive we've been with management in the state, and how that population just, you know, has stayed as high as what it is. And like I said, I'm hoping we're seeing the fruits of our labor, and you know, and that there are fewer deer out there.
But
that's the big thing, just how resilient they are. You know, and it's
very good.
It's a challenge.
How willing to exploit habitat that you would never consider typical whitetail habitat.
Exactly. Yeah.
I've seen them live out their whole lives in the little circle of greenery and the clover leaves on the Beltway and on I-95.
I know exactly what you're talking about on those median strips. I mean, I see them all the time getting off of Liberty Road. There's a big patch of greenery there, getting off the Beltway, getting on the Liberty Road, coming from the north. You look over and there are two or three deer in there feeding, you know, and you never see them anywhere else.
Yeah.
Tag those places in your mind for shed hunting if you're a shed hunter.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, well, it's a little dangerous right there. I don't know if I'd walk off into that median strip, but it's okay. Guys, look, we're gonna wrap up the first hour. We thank you for being with us. We know you'll be back for the second hour after the news, and we've got a couple messages for our listeners from our sponsors, our great sponsors that make this show possible. So we'll be back after the news and after these messages. So Thanks for being here. Now, to our listeners, get out, stay safe, protect yourself.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
At St. Jude, a family never sees a bill at all, not one bill. It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders.
The treatment doesn't get any better than what you receive at St. Jude. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
It's pretty amazing when you consider that 7 years ago, we didn't have the treatments we have now. We cure 80% of children with cancer. If you think about that, I mean, go back 50 years, we were curing 20 to 30%. This is the miracle story of modern medicine. You understand what makes this cancer tick. And of course, without donors from around the world, this just couldn't happen. And there's one thing we're focused on here at St. Jude, and that's beating this thing.
Right now, Doctors Without Borders medical teams are operating in some of the most remote and dangerous corners of the world. When front yards become front lines, when disaster erupts, when disease rages, when communities collapse under crisis, at the crossroads of conflict and epidemic, where there are no hospitals, that's where we operate. We go where conditions are the worst because that's where we're needed most. In nearly 70 countries, we're saving lives threatened by violence, disease, malnutrition, and catastrophic events. Donors are vital to our mission. Your response is critical to our response in places where few others will go. That's where we operate. Learn more at doctorswithoutborders.org.
Hey, WCBM listeners, if you haven't visited the WCBM store at WCBM.com, you're missing out on a lot of goodies. Show your support of WCBM by proudly wearing our WCBM ball cap or the WCBM golf shirt. While you visit our store, check out the deals on restaurant gift cards. They make great gifts. And if you scroll down a little further, you'll find some interesting books that make great reading. Check it out, the WCBM store at WCBM.com.